Oh, I'd like to say welcome, welcome, welcome. It is so wonderful to be with you this evening. This is Donna, Iona Drozda at Wren House Studio, and this is our summer school. 2017, we're having a summer school, and we're having four sessions in summer school to gather around the circle of the natural calendar. So I'm really, really happy and excited that you are here, and I would love it if you would make the continued commitment to be here for the next two of our four sessions. So that will be July the 17th will be part three, and July the 24th will be part four of our four-part teleseminar where we are exploring the greening force within us. So last week, you will remember, that we looked at some of the ways in which the greening force is basically the idea of moving our energy now out into the world. And we spent some time last week with our imaginary, I do goofy things because I work with children all the time, and so I love what children bring in terms of spontaneity and just playfulness and making whatever you have in front of you work. So you'll recall last week I just said, close your eyes and imagine a paper plate, like a real paper plate, those flimsy paper plates that will dissolve if anything watery is on them. And just imagine then that that's your circle, your calendar for the year. I do this for a reason, because I don't want to have you think that what I have going on with the way I relate to the calendar is the way that you ought to relate to the calendar. So we're starting out with a very basic visual image that you're going to be able to grow. And as mentioned last week, by the time we get to our fourth session, the end of our fourth session, my hope, my wish, and my intention for you is that you actually have a journal page or a sketchbook page, maybe a big piece of paper that you've pulled out from your supplies, some way in which you are able to actually make your own circle calendar. And we'll also be talking about how you can build the calendar with actual items, so it doesn't have to be flat on paper. You know, I want to back up and I want to do a couple housekeeping things before we go forward this evening. And the housekeeping things I wanted to address are the quality of the recording that you're listening to when you come in and you pick up the MP3 file. I want to thank you for listening to the recording, and I want to let you know that I understand that there are gaps and lags and odd moments where the sound is just, there's a gap. And I don't know why that is. I'll talk to Kelly, my assistant, about it and see if there's a way that we can rectify that. But in the meantime, I'm apologizing. I wish that the recordings were a little smoother and not quite as choppy as the first one certainly was. So that's my little housekeeping piece. I am going to do my best to see if we can work that through. So now back to our imagination, back to our beginning of the calendar, and back to why a natural calendar? Why a circular calendar? What's the point? We have a kitchen calendar. Isn't that good enough? Well, when we look at the kitchen calendar and the office calendar and our daybook calendar and our Google calendar, when we look at all of the traditional ways in which calendars are given to us, what we're looking at is a solar calendar. And it's mapped out in straight lines and squares so that we're constantly infused with the concept of getting somewhere. It's Sunday, I got to get to next Saturday. It's Monday, I got to get to Friday. We always have to get somewhere on that linear kitchen calendar, which is based on a solar day. And so what we're doing, and what I've been working with, as mentioned last time, we're working with this calendar continuously. Never taken a break. I'm a maniac. I love it so much. This evening I'm going to introduce terminology that we've used in the past, if you've been with me for years, which I know many of you have, and I'm so glad you're still here. Over the years, we refer to ourselves as lunatics. This is a moon calendar. It is based on the solar cycles and the way that the feminine energy, the yin energy impacts us as we move through our days. So whereas the linear calendar, the solar calendar, is masculine, get somewhere, do something, make something happen, our calendar, the circular calendar, isn't meant to replace the kitchen calendar at all. It's meant to augment it and to give us a foot in each world. Wow, what a concept. To have one foot in the masculine world and one foot in the feminine world actually gives us a sense of power and balance. That is our greening power. And what we're doing in these four sessions is really pulling in, drawing in, bringing into our consciousness the beauty, the mystery, the mystical alchemical quality of lunar time, of feminine time, of being connected to the earth mother, the divine feminine, the goddess energy. There's something very mythic about working with the circular calendar because it's not what we're normally doing as human beings. We're not normally connected, but, you know, we all know that there's a whole lot more of the buzz around the lunar phases and the lunar calendar now than we've experienced before. I mean, it's really coming into our mass consciousness. We haven't got a tipping point yet. So the more of us, hello, the more of us, it's so exciting that we're here together, the more of us who begin to recognize the linear calendar in the kitchen is really powerful and important. Solar time is really important. It's the energy of action and making things happen. And at the same time, the circular calendar, the calendar that's based on the phases of the moon and the moon month, and we're doing this on Monday, which is Moon Day, that this energy is sort of off our radar. So I'm asking us to bring it into and onto our radar. And this means that each of us, by the end of our four sessions, each of us is going to have our own calendar. And that means that you can then begin to gain more insight and more awareness by tracking your project, your relationship, your skill that you want to develop. Remember last week we talked about pick something that you want to put onto this calendar and begin to walk the calendar and see how whatever it is you put on to the calendar, watch how it shows up for you. And it's going to show up with its baggage. It's going to show up with its shadow. It's not going to just be all squeaky clean and here I am. Anything that is resisting, anything that is holding you back from allowing your project or your relationship or your skill that you want to develop from actually being accomplished, anything that stands between you and it is going to come up. So, for example, remember your paper plate and remember your circle in the middle of the circle. If you weren't with us in the first session, please do tap into the recording, which will go out with the second recording. The first and the second will go out at the same time, probably in the next couple of days. You want to be aware that the first thing we did last week, once we had our circle in our mind, which our paper plate circle in our mind, it's a good size for drawing our first calendar. Then we placed a circle in the center, and we had three different options for how much room we wanted for the center of our circle. And then we spent some really quality time considering what's happening in the center of our circular calendar. What's happening in the center of our circular calendar is that this is where we can find ourselves. This is where we can connect with ourselves and also with something that's bigger than ourselves and greater than ourselves. So there's a lot of juice in the center of the circle. And we talked about the ancestors and we talked about the elements. And we also put ourselves into the center of the circle, communicating, connecting, relating with the ancestors and with the elements. So the circle, within the circle, is a very basic mandala. It's a very basic focus point. Astrologically, the sun is represented by a circle with a dot in the middle. And so it's a focus, a circle within a circle. if we were going to hypnotize ourselves, you know, we could put a little circle dangling on a string with another circle in the middle and go, "You're getting very sleepy. Pretty soon you're only going to be able to hear my voice," and so on and so forth. So we can really focus when we look just at the circle of the paper plate with the circle in the center that holds the ancestors and the elements. Those mythological and archetypal aspects of all living beings. Pretty monumental to just spend some time meditating on the center of the circle. Now, let's take a moment. Let's push the pause button for just a moment. Let's take a deep breath. Let's imagine, you can close your eyes for just a, you know, just a moment or two, if it's safe for you to do so. You can close your eyes and you can imagine that you're sitting on your cushion. You're in a meditative mode. And you are able to magically pick up your paper plate. And it's got a circle in the center that represents the ancestors and the elements and all the use that you've ever been throughout time. And just imagine that you could take your paper plate and set it on top of your head. You know, in the Buddhist tradition, part of the meditative training is that a tier of triple baskets, each smaller than the one below it, are placed on top of the head when meditation begins. And each basket is filled with beads or legumes, some kind of grain, rice grains. And these three baskets need to stay on top of the head throughout the meditation practice. And in Buddhism, meditation practices can go on for hours. And so if your body slumps forward and all those baskets fall off of your head, obviously all of those beans or rice grains also fall all over. And you realize that you're not as focused as you thought you were. Well, we're not going to do anything that extreme, but if you can imagine putting your paper plate on top of your head while you're meditating. So right at the very, very tippy top, in the middle of your head, right over your pineal gland, is the circle that contains the ancestors and the elements, right? Kind of cool. Now, I don't imagine that there's anybody here in our circle of natural power this evening. I can't imagine anybody is here who doesn't have a familiarity with the chakra system. And so, as we're working just with the circle of the paper plate and the circle within the center of the circle, we can imagine that it's sitting on top of our head, and now it's dropping down, dropping down, dropping down, dropping down, and we can feel kind of a ka-chunk, 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 as the wheel, the circle, this mandala, this very simple form, drops all the way down and kind of settles into each chakra, so that eventually you'll have this basic mandala at the base of your spine, in your second chakra, in your third, in your fourth, heart chakra, up in your throat, there's going to be a mandala in your throat, a mandala behind your third eye, and a mandala again on the top of your head. And then imagine that you can stretch out the circumference of your circle and make it as big as your arms when your arms are stretched out to your sides. And if you were to swing your arms in front and behind you, this now becomes the circle, the bigger circle. This is your circle. This is where you live. And you can stretch your arms above your head symbolically and below your feet. And you can imagine this capsule that surrounds you, your auric field. And inside your body are these seven discs. So we want to make this connection because each of us is going to use this toolkit in a way that resonates for us. So I want to give you, in each of our sessions, I want to give you, you know, several different ways to consider, as even as we're just beginning with these very, very simple circle within a circle, several different ways that you might resonate with, yeah, I can do that. I can see how that could lead to this, and I could go there with that. So here we are. So now we have this first exercise. We're doing prompts, and so as a prompt, a journal prompt, You could also have fun with this. Remember, we can be 6 years old and we can be very healthy. That's one of my favorite approaches in working with us in groups, is that if we choose to be about 6 years of age, six walks around the natural calendar, and we choose to be as healthy as possible, that's the time in our lives when we are most open, most flexible. Our humor is intact. We have fun. We enjoy life. Things begin to get a little heavier at seven. That's our first Saturn square. And from then on, you know, life begins to get kind of burdensome in different ways for each of us. But at 6 years old and healthy, we could have fun with the idea of, between now and next week, opening up a page in our journal or opening up a page in our sketchbook and actually drawing ourselves, drawing a picture of ourselves. It could even be a stick figure. That's what I usually use with when we're working in one-on-one sessions. Just draw a simple stick figure and then draw a disc into each of the chakra zones and begin to meditate on how this calendar, this moon calendar, this feminine time calendar, it lives in us. The kitchen calendar represents out there in the world. The lunar calendar represents in here, inside of me. So, as much as we enjoy the idea and the fantasy of the hazy, lazy, crazy days of summer, the fact is that the masculine calendar is really, it gets its time, it gets its due. We really do want to notice what's going on in the linear, day-to-day, action-oriented aspects of the kitchen calendar throughout the spring and throughout the summer. That is the time to really put the pedal to the metal and make things happen. And so last week we opened the South Gate together, and we talked about how this is the second quadrant of the masculine. The first quadrant is spring, from spring equinox to summer solstice, and the second masculine quadrant is summer, from summer solstice over to fall equinox. This 6 months of the calendar, it's not anything you have to believe in, as mentioned. This is, wow, what a toolkit. This is my time. I am going to actually engage full out. I'm going to notice what my resistances are, and I'm going to do my homework around them. So here's your second journal prompt for this session. It really is helpful to get a grip and to stop allowing the same patterns to dance around the bed in the middle of the night, telling us we're not ready yet. Let me give you a few. I don't have the time. I really don't have the time to do this right now. I'm not ready to take this on yet, this commitment to this project or to this relationship or to this developing this skill. I'm just not ready to. Just leave me alone. Or we say things like, I'm just not enough. Who cares about my project? Yes, I want to paint this amazing series of paintings, and I want them to go into this incredible gallery, the best gallery that I can put my sights on, but who cares? You know, once I was invited to have a gallery show. I've had gallery shows for 35 years running. I've had many, many solo shows, and I own my own gallery. So I was invited to show at a women's college in Raleigh, South Carolina, and I drove down 4 hours to check the gallery space out. It was fantastic. Oh, my God, it was the coolest place. It was like a rotunda. It had a winding ramp that went up like the Guggenheim Museum, where you just wound your way up to the top of the rotunda. And every wall was just this beautiful, let's put a painting. I had room for over 75 paintings. And I had 75 paintings in my inventory, no problem. So I got everything ready, and a couple months later I drove down and installed. I think I dropped off and they installed. And then I came back a third time for the opening. You know what? They didn't think about when they were offering the opening and it was spring break. It was a women's college. Everyone had gone home for spring break. There was nobody. Nobody. There's nobody there. There was a riot. I mean, I had 75 paintings. There was the staff. There were a few people there for, you know, welcoming and refreshments and such like. And I had a friend who'd flown in from out of state to drive down with me to be there and celebrate the opening, and nobody came. You know what? Let's not be stopped. I had a fun time. It was a beautiful show. Nobody came. But classes, when they were back in session, classes went and visited, and I had amazing feedback from students as time went on. So let's not, this is the South Gate, and it's the opening to connecting with others. We go from the me of spring, the 90 days of spring, and we ought to have a strong me right now. Please, please do yourself a favor and remember that the me that you are when you look in the mirror is flanked on both sides, in front and behind, all around you, flanked by all the me's that you've ever been throughout time. So you're never by yourself when you're working with this natural calendar. It's really important because sometimes we feel so alone. And so we review. This is a very flexible calendar. You can be like a pendulum. You can swing yourself over here and back there, and you can pull things in, and you can use what you learned here, and you can imagine what you're going to experience there. And yet, with each focus point, we gain insight into what we're up to and who we are right now. So, this is the South Gate. We open the South Gate to three experience aspects of the calendar. And they all have something to do with connecting with others. So, remember last week, all we did with our calendar was we put the center in, and then we put the four compass points. So here comes our third journal prompt for this evening. Visualize your calendar, and if you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you can draw it out, or you can wait and listen to the recording and do the actual physical exercise at that time, which means that right now you could simply close your eyes, and you can visualize as we begin to move onto the calendar and add what comes next. So we have the outer edge of our paper plate. We have our inner circle. We know that we can go home to the inner circle anytime we want to. It's a really good place to begin each day, and it's a really good place to review each day at the end of the day. Just go to the center of the circle. Now, with the four directions in place, we remind ourselves that the south sits right by our belly button, basically, and the north is up above us on the paper plate. The east is on our right on the paper plate, and the west is on our left on the paper plate. And now we want to kind of make a whole circle, join all the directions. So, in your mind's eye, take yourself over to the edge of the paper plate where the east is, on the right, horizontal, so on the right horizon line is the east direction, right? You're looking at a compass. And in between the east and the south directions, you want to put in three discs, like pennies or nickels or dimes. Just draw them around them, make three discs, or make any shape you want. And you want to put in the three moon months of spring, which would be April, May, and June. So you're filling in the edge of your calendar with the spring moon months of April, May, and June. We pause at the South Gate. We say, yay, now it's time to get even more active than exploring the me and how the me is doing in the spring. Now we begin to get even more active. And we look at our paper plate between the south point on the compass and the west point on the compass, and we put along the edge of our paper plate or our circle, however we choose to create it, we put in the three moon months of summer, which are the moon months of July, August, and September. Now we can just visualize that on our calendar, we have spring and summer, we have the masculine yang side of the wheel. And so this is where the biggest, this is where the strongest light is, and this is where we're really choosing to grow, and this is where we're most physically engaged, and this is where we're testing. We're really testing our bodies. We want to know that we're physically, emotionally, and spiritually in tune, because otherwise, how do we connect with others? You know, if I'm out of balance and I'm having a day where I'm just really not in my body, I'm beside myself rather than inside myself, and then I meet you, I'm going to be pulling on you. I'm going to be needing from you. I'm going to be wanting you to complete me in some, you know, covert kind of a way. I'm going to be manipulating us to get my needs met. We all have needs. And my teachers remind us over and over again that our needs are the fuel for the expansion of our greatness, and our expansion really has a leg up in the summer months of July, August, and September. This is the full-out kitchen calendar, make it happen time period. So that's why last week we talked about, you know, make your commitment. I hope that part of your commitment will be showing up for all four of these teleseminars, so that at the end of the four, you have a workable tool. And I'm going to be adding in, most likely, I'll be adding in some PDF files at the end, so there'll be a bit of a review. I'm actually going to look into getting transcripts made so that you'll be able to actually read what we've done here. I'll get back to you on that, because I'm not sure how that happens. But, you know, this is a part of my learning, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the commitment to show up here and to share this information, because we do need it. We do need this balance. If our feet are both our feet are in the masculine energy of the kitchen calendar, got to make it happen, got to do it, got to do it. How am I going to do it? I don't know how I'm going to do it. We're going to self-destruct. So in the July, August, and September summer months, we're given an opportunity to really do a tune-up. Again, thinking about me connecting with others. Me connecting with you makes a we. And so last week we talked about the criteria for emotional maturity and the steps and stages we can take to balance ourselves. And I have another little group of touchstones this evening to deepen into our capacity to check in with ourselves and see if all of our chakras are lined up with the balance and the harmony of the circle. So let's do a little emotional tune-up, and then we'll go back onto the wheel and we'll do the rest of that outer circle. So take a deep breath. Again, you can close your eyes. As I share with you, a lovely code of humanity. And if there's a time when we really want to place our attention on humanity, it's in this other quadrant, this 90 days of the summer cycle in the Northern Hemisphere. We really want to put our fingers on the pulse of how are we doing? How are we doing as humanity? You know, what kind of on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of a grade would you give us on how we're doing collectively as the human species living on the world together and with all other living beings? So here's the code of humanity, and this comes from a source that calls themselves the Creative Group out of Laguna Hills, California. I don't know if they even exist anymore, because I've had this list of from the Code of Humanity probably for 30 years. I love it. So I want to share it with you. And maybe there's going to be some resonance for you, because what we're doing as we're walking around this part of the wheel is we're looking at how do I create my project, this relationship, or develop this skill. If I stay all by myself, I can't do it. We need the support of each other. And so we're looking at how we connect with one another. So here's the code of humanity. Again, you can kind of close your eyes and take this in. There are 10 points in the code of humanity. And the first is, I choose to communicate truth. Second one is, I choose the reality of life. The third, I choose to heal, not hurt. The fourth, I choose education over ignorance. The fifth point in the code of humanity, I choose the power of peace. The sixth, I choose to love good and see good in all mankind. And if you so choose, you can also implant into that sixth code, I choose to love God and see God in all mankind. So you have the flexibility of good or God. On the seventh point is, I choose to seek the soul in all things. The eighth, I choose to link to the world of inspiration. The ninth, I choose the principle of sharing. The tenth, I choose to become a co-creator of life and live it more abundantly. So last week we had the criteria of emotional maturity, and this week we put in the code of humanity. For homework, you might want to put your fingers on some of the things that you've collected that give you insight and information on what it means to be in a healthy relationship. And I can't say the word relationship without drawing a little boat and putting somebody in it and calling it the relationship and then putting a whole bunch of boats around it. And we can spend our whole life in our own little boat and just be all by ourselves and go, hey, look, I'm over here. Which brings me to a story. And this is a story about anxiety. And I think that it's a good thing to think about in the moon months of July, August, and September, during the quadrant that is about others. You know, it ain't easy. It ain't easy communicating with one another. We all know that. We're not naive. We bump up against each other. And the more intimate we attempt to get with one another, the more we start to see and sense into the tension. So we want you to be aware throughout these four sessions that tension is natural, part of living on the third dimension, and we want to differentiate between the stress, the tension, the stress that is negative, that rubs us the wrong way, opposing the stress, the tension that is creative, that inspires us. It goes, oh man, I can't stay here anymore. I have to face this. It's like the tension of doing these calls with you. I told Kelly when the idea came on June the 26th, I was out at my farm. I was just sitting there minding my own business, and suddenly, out of quote-unquote nowhere, comes this idea. Hey, how about Ren House Studio Summer School? What? Oh my gosh, what does that mean? And yet, here I am. My hair's on fire. I'm so excited. I don't know what's going to happen next. And yet, I'm so excited to be here and to see what happens next. That's creative stress. That's creative tension. There's going to be a pearl. Something's going to come out of it. I just am so excited. I can't wait to, you know, experience what's going to come out of it. So we want to be aware that there is a lot of anxiety in the attending to how we relate with one another. Who the heck knows how to do it? None of us. We learn as we go. So it reminds me of a story that's titled Worry and Anxiety. And it has a little preface that says, when you're separate and have private goals, there is such a tension that your awareness becomes very narrow and you become closed. Simply surrender and allow existence to carry you. And the little story goes that there's an old woman who's traveling on a bus, and she's really anxious. She's all by herself, she's sitting in a little chair, and she's really anxious, she's kind of trembling, and she keeps asking the driver what stop it is. Where are we? Can you tell me what the streets are? Are we there yet? And the stranger sitting beside her tells, you can relax, don't be worried. The driver knows where we're going, and they're going to be announcing the stop, and all you have to do is, let the conductor know what your stop is. Just tell him where you want to get to, and no problem, then you'll be told, and you can relax now. And so the guy next to her calls the conductor over, and he says that this woman needs to be reminded. So the woman said, please remember, I don't want to miss my stop. I have to reach where I'm going very urgently. And we all have this part of us in us, don't we? Where we're just like, I got to get there. And the conductor says, okay, I'll make a note of it. Even without your asking, I'll be announcing the stop. But I will make a note of where you want to get off, and I will make sure to come to you particularly and tell you when your stop is coming. Don't be worried. Now, where is it that you want to get off? And the woman is perspiring, and she's trembling, and she's so nervous, and she's so tense, and she's so much like all of us when we don't know how to go forward with our project. We don't know how to address that relationship. We don't know how to develop that skill so we can, jump across the abyss. And so there she is, she's trembling and she's tense, and she says, thank you. If you could just make a note of it, I need to get off at the bus terminal. So, take a deep breath and realize, hello, that's where we're all getting off, at the end of a line. So the story goes on to remind us that your consciousness becomes narrower and narrower, the more tense you become. Kitchen calendar, it really paints a very tense picture. If we work with the kitchen calendar only, it's masculine, linear, gotta get there, gotta do it, gotta make it happen. And so we all are in this place of being narrower and narrower and more tense, because how many years have you been walking around what I like to call the natural calendar of your life without even knowing it? Now we're getting in touch with it, and so life is and time and space is going to expand. We're going to have a lot of room to move in. So we become closed, we become tense, it becomes more and more difficult in this tension and this anxiety to remember, and our ego loves the tension because it keeps us small. It likes to keep us loaded with anxiety and all the things that are unnecessary. And so now, if it's the bus terminal, why would she have to worry? How could she possibly miss it? So the moment she would rest, the moment she would relax, she would know that she's already moving in the direction, and she's going to get where she's choosing to go. And the idea of the story is that we're all part of this ride. We're all on the bus together. And, somebody can be a kind stranger and go, hey, let's talk to the conductor. Let's put you at ease. So with that in mind, this week we want to stretch a little bit. Don't ever do anything that doesn't feel right for you. But if it would feel right for you, maybe this week you could find a friend and send them over the MP3 from last week and say, hey, would you listen to this and see what you think? And would you like to buddy up with me and do these four sessions and start to work with this organic moon month feminine time to balance the linear masculine solar month calendar on the kitchen wall? Would you like to try it? Would you like to do it? Of course, you don't have to do that. You could actually simply work with this moon month calendar, this natural calendar, on your own in your journal, and just make your, partner up with the center of your circle. Partner up with grandfather sun, father sky, grandmother moon, mother earth, and the elements of earth, air, fire, and water. Or as one scientist now refers to the elements for the 21st century, or the seasons, which are ruled by earth, air, fire, and water, there's a scientist that calls the seasons now flood, mud, fire, and snow because of the climate change. So what we want to think about is finding a partner. It can be an imaginary partner from the center of your circle, or it could actually be somebody that you know who you sense would be open. Remember, the idea of being creative as an individual and then moving into being from an independent individual to an interdependent we space, the traits that we need are openness and flexibility, along with independence. You don't want to ask somebody to buddy up with you if they're a completely codependent person and they're going to be, again, pulling on you. So the idea this week is that we want to go a little deeper. We want to realize that we're on the masculine side of the calendar, and it is an organic, earth-based, moon-time calendar. And now we're going to go around the opposite side of the calendar and put in our moons around the edge. So from the west, fall equinox, up to the north, winter solstice, we have three disks that you can draw onto your paper plate or visualize in your mind's eye. And those moon months are October, November, and December. And that time period gives us the opportunity to integrate the me and the we and to really begin to join with life. So fall, when we get into October, November, December, I can't wait. I really, really cannot wait for us to be able to explore the greening force as we go into the fall quadrant. And then finally, on our outer edge of our circle for this week, we're going around the outer edge of our circle. So we have our inner go-to home. We have our four compass points. And now we're finishing off the last of our outer circle on our calendar. So we go from winter solstice in the north, compass point, back over to the east compass point, and the next spring equinox. And in that quadrant, we have the moon months of January, February, and March. And that quadrant is the mystery. How beautiful that we have an opportunity through one full cycling through the seasons in each 90-day quadrant. Starting in spring, we focus on a healthy me, all the me's that I've ever been throughout time. Then throughout the 90 days, the 12 weeks of fall, we focus on the we, on others, on joining, on relating, on communicating, on connecting. That leads us then into the fall quadrant where we focus on life. Wow, if there's a me and there's a we can actually benefit. Together we can benefit life and all living beings. We can actually support the health and the well-being of every living being because we've done our work, our processing work. Our creative greening force is vital and strong like Jack's beanstalk. And then when we get to that last quadrant, the winter quadrant in the northern hemisphere, and the whole wheel flips for the southern hemisphere, but that's another story. So in the winter quadrant, we move into the mystery. And you know how we've often hyphenated that word now since the 70s. That word's gotten a nice twist with my story. We go into the mystery of my story. Why was I born? What do I need to clear away? What do I need to renew? And how can I give birth when the spring equinox comes each year as we spiral around and spiral around? How can I give birth to a greater version of my possibility and my potential? So, oh my gosh, there we are. We are at the top of our hour, and I really, really am grateful that you have been here. For homework, let's review. We want to fill in our journal or in our sketchbook our own drawing of the inner and the outer wheel, next week, we're going to create our pathway. And that's when we get to dance the wheel and really engage it in ways that are just endless in terms of how you yourself are going to be able to own this circle as your own go-to place for balance. It'll no longer be, I got to figure it out, I got to make it happen. Now there's going to be balance. I don't have to know. This moon circle, earth calendar, feminine timepiece is going to give me a whole different way of looking at the world. Thank you so much for being here. If you're listening to the recording, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you'll listen to the recording more than once and see what comes up for you as you take week one, part one, of exploring your greening force, and week two, and begin to get a feeling for this circular mandala timepiece that we're creating together. I wish you so much well, and I also want to remind you that we have two videos. One is posted on Tuesday, one is posted on Thursday on YouTube, and there are two-minute tune-ups that connect directly with what we're doing here. They're open to the public, so anybody can watch them, but when you watch them, you'll know that they are directly connected to what we're doing here, and I'm actually talking to you when I'm making the video. Thanks for being here. Donna Iona Droser, Ren House Studio, Summer School. Yay! Talk to you later. Bye.